that song, God is always the same. And that's my message that I want to look at this morning. If you have your Bible, and I hope that you have your Bible with you, I hope you're treating this like a regular service. Grab your Bible and turn to Psalm 46. And I want us to look at some scriptures here that I believe will be a help and an encouragement to our hearts as the Word of God, the Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to instruct us and teach us and comfort us. And I believe there's great comfort in these verses as we look at them this morning. Psalm 46 and verse 1, the Bible says this: God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with swelling thereof. Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot of in the fire. Be still. Verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us as we look at your word. And Lord, I pray as we are experiencing a valley in our lives, Lord, we know that you are with us. You will never leave us nor forsake us. And Lord, we have a wonderful opportunity as your people to show to a generation, to show to our children, to show to our family, your comfort and your help in our lives during difficult days. And so, Lord, I pray that you would use your word to strengthen our hearts. Lord, if there's any that are discouraged, if there's any that is disheartened, I pray, Lord, that your word would encourage them, that they would see from your word that you truly are in control, that we can rest in you. And we're grateful for the opportunity to come together, Lord, through technology, to look at your word and to grow and to learn. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, our world is always changing. A couple of days ago, I drove by a gas station and the price of fuel was 65 cents. 65 cents. That's cheaper than the day that I got married. It was 72 cents a liter. I'll never forget that, because I have to be honest, I thought that day, I thought that it would never come, that day would never come, that 72 cents a liter would ever be seen again. And now I saw it for 65 cents a liter. It's incredible how our world is always changing. The price of fuel goes up and it goes down and it changes several times a day. I'm glad our salvation is not founded upon the price of fuel. The reality is that our world is always changing and we have very little constants in our life. And yet I'm glad to be able to tell you with full assurance and confidence that God never changes. He's always the same. He's always the same. The changing days cannot take away from the fact that God is our constant in life. His love is always the same. His kindness, his mercy, his holiness, it never changes. The Bible says that God is always the same. And And because of that truth, he can be trusted. He can be relied on. He's a constant in our life. Our text before us is Psalm 46. It's often called the song in trouble, the song in trouble. When the days were dark and the enemies of darkness seemed to be victorious, when we feel dispirited and depressed and disheartened, we can always sing the song of hope in Psalm 46. No matter how difficult the day may get, and I want you to know there's always hope in the Lord. Someone said this, due to the recession, to save on energy costs, the light at the end of the tunnel will be turned off. I'm glad that the light at the end of the tunnel, I'm glad that Christ is our light and that light will never be turned off. He is always the same and that hope is always there. The author of this psalm is not known. And it's not possible today to determine the occasion to which the psalm was written. It was clearly in view of trouble. It was clearly some impending disaster. Apparently some national calamity would fall upon God's people. The nation was in danger. And when they felt in the psalm, they felt that God was their only refuge, their last hope. They would look to the Lord. Now, we don't know why. We don't know why the psalm was written or the circumstances behind the psalm. Some have suggested that war was threatened, that Jerusalem itself was besieged, that the nation was shaken with great uncertainty. And yet the main thought of the psalm is, and I hope you didn't miss it, the main thought of the psalm is that God's people have a refuge in difficult days. That's the thrust of this wonderful psalm. We can rest in the plan of God. We can know that he is in control. Now, I want to look at this psalm together, and I want to give you two simple truths. I want to give you a revelation, and that revelation of God is going to affect our response. The revelation of God is going to change or affect our response. So what is the revelation? Well, what does the Bible teach us? Why can we rely on God? Well, first of all, if you're taking notes, write down, first of all, number one, the revelation. And then we're going to see who God is. Letter A, who God is. God, verse number one, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. God is our refuge and our strength. Psalm 18, verse 2, David wrote these words, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower." And friends, these are not just words. Well, first of all, it's the inspired word of God, but this is David's experience in his life, that God would never leave him or forsake him, that God was faithful, and that God would show himself true. The idea of a refuge is a place to flee for safety, a source of strength in time of trouble. A refuge is a place to flee for safety. It's a source of strength in time of trouble. 2 Samuel chapter 22, David, the king of Israel, said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my rock. In him will I trust. He is my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." When Saul was trying to kill David, when his own son Absalom was trying to kill the king, David would run to a cave, the cave of Adullam. And he would meet his men there, and that cave would be a refuge for King David. It would be a place of protection and strength. This cave was nicknamed the Rock. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 11, verse 15, "Now three of the 30 captains went down to the rock. They went down to the rock, to David, into the cave of Adullam, and the host of the Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David went down to the rock, this place of refuge, a place of strength, a place of safety. And when David spent time in this rock meditating on God, no doubt about it, he considered the real reason he was safe and the real reason why he found security in this rock, in this cave, was because God was surrounding him. He found comfort in the very purpose of the Lord. He would flee into God's comforting nature, and he would pen, "The Lord is my rock. He is my refuge. He is my strength." I want us to go back and think of 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 3, and notice the words of David here. He says in verse 2, and he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer." Now notice what he says. This is interesting. "The God of my rock." The God of my rock. You see, when push came to shove, David found strength in the Lord. And it wasn't a cave that he found security. It wasn't a cave that he found help or safety. He found help and safety when he ran to the rock, the Lord Jesus, when he found his strength in God and his purpose and in his plan. And friend, I'm reminding you this morning that God is our refuge. He's our strength to help us. I pen these words. I hope they'll be a blessing to you. When trials press upon your life, when uncertainty fills your days, don't fret the darkness or the deep. Our Lord knows each winding way. When hope isn't seen from where you're at and the crisis looks hard ahead, don't trust your way to get you through. Don't trust your way to get you through. Run to the rock instead. Run to God. He is our refuge. But the Bible says he is a present help in times of trouble. The word help means assistance. Trouble speaks of all the things that could come upon us that would cause sorrow or anxiety. And the word present there, an interesting word, it means proved. God is emphatically true. He is a present help. He is a proven help in time of our present trouble. God is emphatically true. He is there to help us. He is a proven help in our times of trouble. And we notice the outcome in verse 2. Look at it together. Psalm 46, verse 2. "Therefore will not we fear." Why? Because we run to the rock. Because God is a present help and in a present trouble. God is there, and we will not fear though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters throughout roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. We see in the scripture that our confidence in God is unshaken and enduring. Even if God destroyed the very earth he created, even if the earth be removed or changed, or the mountains were carried into the sea, this goes bigger and beyond a pandemic. The Bible says that God is still the protector and helper of his children. Even though the earth be destroyed, God is still there, and we could still run to the rock. It's a wonderful truth. God is our help. He's a present help in a time of trouble. He's our refuge. He's our strength. But God is also the provider of peace. Look at it together. Psalm 46 and verse number 4. The Bible says, "There is a river. The streams thereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her." And that right early, the scripture isn't speaking here of a particular river, but the context, the thought is the state of calm and serenity in the heart.
While the sea crashes and the mountains tumble, this river or stream flowing into the city of God or into Jerusalem is a picture of peace and joy and happiness and abundance. When I think of this passage of Scripture, I think of the storm crashing outside of the ship of the disciples and the Lord Jesus sound asleep. And the Bible says here that God is the provider. He's the provider of peace in our heart. Isaiah 32 verse 2, the Bible says, and the man shall be as a hiding place from the wind and a coverlet from the tempest, as rivers of water in a dry place, as the shadow of a great rock in a weary land. The presence of God in the city makes all the difference in the world. And there is peace, even though it would seem that the world is crashing down. There's peace and there's joy in knowing the Lord. Think about how the world is reacting in verse chapter 46, verse 6. Look what the Bible says here. It says, the heathen raged, the kingdoms were moved. The heathen raged. Our world would be in a panic today. Our world would be in a mess. And yet I want to remind you that the Lord is with us. And God is there to help us, to give to us what we need in our life. I'm grateful for God's wonderful work in our lives. You see, the Bible says that we can trust the Lord. And we see in this passage of Scripture that God is in control. We see God's power. He is a provider of peace. This is who God is. But secondly, let's think about what God has done. The psalmist doesn't end there. He says in verse 8, come behold the works of the Lord. What desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease. Unto the end of the earth he breaketh the bow. He cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Now take a moment and let's think about who the Lord is. He's our refuge. He's our strength. He's our present help, a proven help in time of trouble. And even if the earth be destroyed, even if the mountains fall into the sea, God is still there to help us. That's who our God is. He's reliable. He's trustworthy. But let's think about what he's done. The Bible says he's brought down nations, verse number 8. What desolations, the thought of desolations is the idea of ruin or overthrow he has made in the earth. What nations he has brought down. What towns, what cities God has crumbled. The walls of Jericho were no match for Almighty God. This is his power. This is his strength. And we can be reminded today that no nation is any match for all-powerful God. He is the God of strength and might. No nation can stand in his way. He has brought down nations. He has caused wars to cease. Not only can our God, who is all-powerful, crumble a nation, he can also bring peace and he can stop war. Our confidence is in the Lord. And friend, I want to remind you that no army can stand in God's way. He breaks the bow. He makes them useless, the Bible says. He cutteth the spear. He makes them useless. He burns the chariot. He makes them ineffective. They're useless. This is the strength of the Lord. Not only who he is, but also what he's done. You can trust him, the psalmist is saying. The Bible says in Psalm 20, verse 7, some trust in chariots and some in horses. But we will remember the name of the Lord our God. I'm glad today that our hope is not found in armies. It's not found in governments. It's not found in wealth. And it's not found in health. I'm glad our confidence is in God. And we will remember the name of the Lord Our hope is found in Him. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And it would seem today that the talk of the town, even among Christians, is as if God is not on the throne. These events over the last several weeks have not taken God by surprise. God is still in control. And God is aware of what is happening in our world. And this message from God is not a message of despair. It's not a message of hopelessness. It is a message of trust. Trust in God. He is our refuge. Not only who He is, but what He has done. No nation, no leader, no army can stand against Him. He is all powerful. And we can rest in Him. We can run to the rock. This is the revelation of who God is. And the psalmist begins during a crisis to remind God's people of who God is. But then there's our response to it. How will we respond to the message that God has given us? And let me just say to you this morning, this is not the message from Pastor Burns to Kitchener Baptist Church. This is the message from God to Kitchener Baptist Church. He is in control. He is our refuge. He is our strength. He is a present help in time of trouble, and He is there to help us. We must run to the rock. And so how will we respond? How should we respond? Well, look at what the Bible says, verse 10. Be still and know that I am God. Wow. What a wonderful thought. Be still and know that I am God. I looked into that idea, that phrase, be still. It means to cast down. The thought is to be relaxed, especially the hands. The idea to be still means to leave the matter with God. Someone said it means to make no effort, to put forth no effort, but leave the matter with the Lord. You know the story of the children of Israel. God chose a man named Moses. And Moses was to lead God's people, probably over 1 million Jews, out of the promised land, or out of Egypt into the promised land. And the Bible says that Moses didn't want to stand before Pharaoh, and you could imagine why. That would be a difficult task. And yet the Bible says that God said to Moses, I'll be with you, I'll help you, I'll speak for you. He sent him a helper to encourage him and to speak on his behalf. And Moses stood before Pharaoh and said, let my people go. And when Pharaoh finally let God's people go, the Bible says that God led them the way of the Red Sea. Although the way of the wilderness was probably a more direct route, God had a plan, and God brought them to the Red Sea, and they were boxed in. They were stuck. They had no place to go, folks. I mean, here comes the Egyptians. The Red Sea was standing before them. They couldn't go over it. They couldn't go under it. They couldn't go around it. They had no place to go. The only option they had was to go through it. And the Bible says that Moses took some time, and he talked with the Lord. And he stood before the children of Israel and he said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. The Bible says for us as believers, this is the message of God. And I know it goes against every grain in your body. I know it goes against everything in your thinking. But the Bible says, be still. And know that I am God. God is saying to you today, I know the situation. And I know the situation that we're facing is bringing a lot of stress in the lives of people. It's bringing a lot of worry. It's bringing a lot of anxiety. And yet the message of God this morning is a simple one. It's difficult, but it's simple. Stand still. Stand still. Don't try to figure it out. Trust in the Lord. Run to the rock. He is your refuge. He is your strength. Find what you need in the Lord. Be still, the Bible says, and know that he is God. Be still. How? Pastor, how in the world am I going to be still in a time like this? I need to do this and I need to do that and I need to get this done. And you don't understand, this could happen and this could happen. How can I stand still in a time like this? You look at God's resume. You see who he is. Stand still, he says, and know that I am God, that I am in control, that I have a purpose, that I have a plan. Understand his power. Understand his nature, his plan, his work, his grace. Stand still and know his strength. See, the Bible says, stand still. The Bible says, this is our response, folks. Stand still. Know that I am God. Thirdly, know his heart. You say, what do you mean, know his heart? Well, look what the Bible says, verse 10. I will be exalted among the heathen. The heathen are those who do not worship the true God. Those in our society today who are worshiping idols, worshiping themselves, worshiping humanism and other idols in their life, materialism. God says, I'll be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. You know what God's heart is? God's heart is, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. And friends, the heart of God is that he would be lifted up, he would be exalted during this crisis, that people will come to him. The Christians would get their heart right with God and turn to him, that unsaved people would look to the Lord and get saved. This is the heart of God. He will be exalted. And that's our response. That ought to be our response. Be still. Know that he is God. And see his heart. So what does it mean for you? What's the conclusion of all of this? Well, the psalmist gives it to us in verse 11. Look at it. This is the conclusion of my whole message. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We can trust in the Lord. He's there to help us. Listen, friend, don't run to anyone. Don't run to anything. Run to the rock. He is our refuge. He is our help. Be still and know that he is God. Heavenly Father, I pray you would help us during these days. Lord, I pray you would bring calmness and peace to our hearts. Lord, help us not to fight. Help us, Lord, not to sin because of our pride or arrogance, but Lord, help us to be still and to look to you. Lord, forgive us where we have wrestled with you in these days. And Lord, help us to look to you in these times. May you be glorified in all that we say and do, and help us to make good decisions because of your word this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to put my microphone back here. We're going to sing Be Still, My Soul. My soul, we're going to sing together on the first verse. Be still, my soul. In every chair.
sing on that second verse, be still my soul. Be still my soul. God bless you. Thank you so much for joining us for our live stream this morning. Be faithful to the Lord. We're praying for you. God bless you.